What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to the Avenue. On this week's show, we'll be listening to music from the Afro-Futurist pioneers of Indiana Avenue. Afro-Futurism has been defined as a cultural movement that uses science fiction and fantasy to reimagine the history of Black people and to theorize a technologically advanced future where Black people thrive. Popular examples of Afrofuturism can be found in the works of the science fiction novelist Octavia Butler or the Marvel comic book series Black Panther. Afrofuturism has had a major presence in the world of music, from the cosmic jazz of Sun Ra to the space age funk of Parliament. The musicians of Indiana Avenue have made important contributions to Afro-Futurist music, and we'll start this week's show with music from one of the Avenue's greatest living legends, the jazz saxophonist and flautist James Spalding. James Spalding was born in Indianapolis in July of 1937. He studied music at Crispus Attucks High School and played on the Avenue with the Jazz Contemporaries, a group that featured a young Freddie Hubbard on trumpet. In the late 1950s, Spalding left Naptown for Chicago, where he joined an early version of the Sun Ra Orchestra. Sun Ra is one of the most influential figures in the history of Afrofuturism. Sun Ra's music mixed West African instrumentation with early electronic instruments, and the band's visuals mixed images of outer space with ancient Egypt.
After the end of the world, don't you know that yet? It's after the end of the world, don't you know that yet? It's after the end of the world, don't you know that yet? It's after the end of the world, don't you know that yet?
We'll start this week's show with two early Sun Ra recordings featuring James Spalding on sax and flute. From the 1958 recording, Nubians of Plutonia, we'll hear Africa and Ethiopia. Thank you. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're paying tribute to the Afro-futurist pioneers of Indiana Avenue, and we just heard two recordings from the Sun Ra Orchestra, featuring the Indiana Avenue legend James Spaulding on flute and sax. In the spring of 1958, the Sun Ra Orchestra performed a historic concert in the Indiana Avenue neighborhood. It was one of the group's first appearances outside of Chicago. The concert was held at the Senate Avenue YMCA. Over the years, many legends have formed around this show, including a rumor that both Freddie Hubbard and Wes Montgomery performed with the group. WFYI's Kyle Long has researched this performance extensively, hoping to find out if there is any truth to these urban legends. In 2015, he asked James Spaulding if he remembered this performance, and Spaulding recalled that Sun Ra was a big hit in Naptown.
I think the only concert he ever gave in Indianapolis was at the YMCA. And do you remember anything about that show, how he was received here in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I remember the occasion. The people at the Y contracted him to come down and play. You know, it was a black YMCA, of course. And they would discuss things like, you know, like race problems. And we would play the music, and they just loved it, you know. They wanted us to come back, you know. And I was right there at home with my brothers and sisters, my parents. I think they showed up. Yeah, it was a very exciting time, if I can remember.
In 2017, Kyle Long spoke with saxophonist Marshall Allen. Allen has been the leader of the orchestra since Sun Ra's death in 1993.
James Spaulding, no, last time I seen him, he was playing with us on the session stuff. And then I don't see him too much after that.
Yeah, he's still living in New York.
Oh, yeah, he's still there.
But he's not in good health, and I don't think he's playing much anymore. But he brought you, I don't know if you remember this, I think one of the first programs the orchestra played outside Chicago, he brought you guys to Indianapolis in 58. It was YMCA. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that show? Because there's a lot of legends about that Wes Montgomery sat in with you.
Yeah, right.
Did Wes sat in with you guys?
It probably did, yeah. So many people.
Right.
I remember that because he left and went to New York and I stayed in Chicago.
Right.
And then we came up to New York and that's why he's on that other record with us.
Do you remember anything about...
Him playing with us in New York.
Gotcha. Do you remember anything about that show in Indianapolis? I know... Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about that program in Indianapolis?
At the
YMCA.
It's hard to remember.
Yeah, it's a lot 60 years ago.
Fine detail, but I remember playing that.
James Spaulding left Sun Ra's orchestra in the late 1950s. But he reunited with the group in 1990 for the album Purple Night. We'll hear two songs off that record next, Friendly Galaxy, followed by Love in Outer Space. Touch that dial. Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return with more Afrofuturist sounds after this short break. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. On this week's show, we're listening to music from the Afrofuturist pioneers of Indiana Avenue. Afrofuturism has been defined as a cultural movement that uses science fiction and fantasy to reimagine the history of Black people and to theorize a technologically advanced future where Black people thrive. During the 1980s, a group of Naptown musicians connected to the Avenue created important electronic dance music records that helped to shape the sound of Afrofuturism. Up next, we'll hear an example from Rodney Stepp, a 1984 single titled Breakout. Stepp grew up on the Avenue during the 1960s and remains a popular presence on the Naptown music scene today. Rodney Stepp's Breakout was recently featured on a compilation released by the influential British record label Soul Jazz. The album was titled Space Funk, Afrofuturist Electro Funk in Space. From that record, this is Rodney Stepp with Breakout. That was Rodney Stepp with Breakout. Up next, we'll hear music from Rodney's cousin, Bill Simmons. Today, Simmons is best known as a co-founder of Midnight Star, but he spent his early years playing sax with R&B groups here in Naptown. Midnight Star helped popularize electronic funk music during the early 1980s. In 2019, WFYI's Kyle Long spoke with Bill Simmons, and they discussed Midnight Star's early experiments in Afrofuturist funk.
You are also an incredible pioneer of electronic dance music, and the records you made with Midnight Star, like Freakazoid and Electricity, you know, laid the foundation for modern electronic dance music, and it's a huge, huge contribution to a global music culture. I just wondered if you wanted to speak on that at all, your contribution to kind of the evolution of electronic dance music.
When we did No Parking on the Dance Floor album, for Midnight Star, that was really a biggie. It was a change of direction for us because we were more of a typical funk band with horn section and we did have a female vocalist with us, Belinda, that made it a little bit different. But we were similar to, Confunction or Commodores or any of the other bands of the late 70s, early 80s. So to go electronic, we started really listening to what was going on what people were dancing to, what people were getting into at the club, said, hey, we can take R&B flavor as far as melody and lyrics and put it on top of some electronic dance beats, and we might have something special. And that's really what we purposely set out to do. And for my contribution, I really kind of got into synthesizer programming and using drum machines. So on that No Parking album, I did a lot of the synthesizer programming.
Let's listen to Midnight Star's 1983 single, Freakazoid, which has been called an Afrofuturist essential.
Freakazoids, robots, please report. Freakazoids, robots, please report to the dance floor.
That was Midnight Star with Freakazoid, featuring Naptown's Bill Simmons on keys. On this week's show, we're paying tribute to the Afrofuturist pioneers of Indiana Avenue. And we'll end with music from Reggie Griffin and Technofunk. Reggie Griffin came to prominence in the late 1970s as a member of Manchild, a group that also included a young Kenny Babyface Edmonds. But Griffin got his start performing with Indiana Avenue legends like Billy Ball and the Upsetters. In the early 1980s, Reggie left Uptown for New Jersey, where he worked as a producer for Sugar Hill Records. During his time at Sugar Hill, Reggie created beats for many early hip-hop and electronic dance music classics. During a 2017 interview with WFYI's Kyle Long, Reggie recalled his transition from funk music to Afrofuturist electronic sounds.
Electronic music was an emerging concept, an emerging idea at that time.
Right.
How did you develop such a great mastery of these synthesizers? And I assume drum machines you were using as well?
Yeah, well, basically, again, I'll go back to the Manchild days. I was starting to hear these sounds from Stevie Wonder and a lot of other people that were starting to happen in the late 70s. And I remember saying to our keyboard player, man, well, to the whole band, man, we got to get one of those polyphonic synthesizers because that's where things are going. And I guess maybe everybody didn't really hear me. And I remember I probably made $4,000 that whole year, but I took my $4,000 and I bought a Prophet 5 synthesizer. And I learned my way around it. And I started adding it to a lot of the things that we were doing. Again, pretty much self. I played keyboards also, not as well as I played guitar or saxophone, but just learning my way around it and learning how to program, I was able to develop a sound that ended up adding a lot to a lot of different records for a lot of different artists. Mm. Also, around the same time, we're talking 1980, 81. That was the year, I believe, the Linn drum came out in 79. The Oberheim DMX came out in 80, around the same time as the 808 drum machine. But at Sugar Hill, we bought a DMX drum machine. And instantly, Sylvia just looked at me and said, I know Reggie can work this thing. So I pretty much picked it up and quickly learned how to get around on it and became the drum programmer as well as synth programmer as well as synth player and for the whole studio. They own two studios there, and so pretty much everything that came out of Sugar Hill from after Rapper's Delight, I did most of the arranging, keyboards, programming, production, whatever was necessary for the most part.
And and I understand that includes the classic, iconic record, The Message, by Grandmaster Flash and his Furious Five, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
I read that you essentially designed the sound of that song, the synthesizer hook,
totally,
which that's the whole record. I mean, that's what grabbed my attention when I heard that record for the first time, was that sound. And, you know, I mean, that's a huge contribution to the culture of American music, just music, period. And, you know, Grandmaster Flash had nothing to do with that record, essentially. Yeah, can you talk a little bit about making that and kind of your role in that record?
Well, actually, I mean, as you know, Flash, you know, was the DJ, so he liked to orchestrate and put together a lot of the tracks that he did based around samples and different things, because that was his forte. And he actually wasn't crazy about that particular song. But, of course, Melly Mel being the lead rapper of the gang. But Sylvie was adamant about it. She really liked it and really felt that it could be big. Ed Fletcher, Duke Booty, actually wrote the original song. And he gave me a lot of input as far as what he felt it should sound like, but I did design every sound that you heard on that track, all the synthesizer parts. I played most of the synthesizer parts. I believe there was one other keyboard player that did a few things, but I did most of it. And of course, we brought in Doug Wimbush. He doubled my synth bass, and Skip McDonald on guitar. But most of what you're hearing is me, as far as the instrumentation.
Yeah, I know when Rolling Stone did the top, I think, 100 rap songs of all time, they picked The Message as the top song, and they did credit you in your role in creating that song. But I don't often see, you know, you weren't on the label. Does it bother you that you didn't kind of get the spotlight and get recognized for that contribution?
To a degree, sometimes, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
But at Sugar Hill, at the time, a lot of the credits just didn't get put on a lot of the records that were there. As a matter of fact, I remember on a lot of the records that Joey Robinson, who was Sylvia's son, he would put Reggie Griffin. I mean, you'd have, you know, guitar, bass for different people, and say Reggie Griffin, Prophet. And I always imagine a lot of people thought that I was some guy that came in with a long beard and a staff.
and
something like that. But no, it meant Prophet 5 synthesizer, which was one of the main synthesizers out at the time, along with the Oberheims and all that. But I kind of gravitated toward the Prophet because I liked the sound and I knew how to get around on it.
And another record that I understand you pretty much created on your own, I understand, is Scorpio by Grandmaster Flash. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, actually, ironically, I am a Scorpio.
Okay.
Scorpio, Ed Scorpio from Grandmaster Flash, he had a lot of ideas for that song. And so he and I kind of collaborated back and forth and came up with a lot of, and of course, I did the vocoder on it and did all the beats. And again, instrumentation wise, I believe that one is pretty much 100% me.
That's what I've read. So if you remember it that way, that's probably the truth. And you know, that song is categorized as electro music, right? Which was a groundbreaking new genre of music around that time.
Yeah.
And you also, around the same time, released a record under your own name, Reggie Griffin and Techno Funk Murder Rock,
right?
Which was also a classic early electro music piece.
I am a computer. I have been programmed to dance. I am here to digitize you.
You know, we hear about guys like Juan Atkins, Cybotron, up in Detroit. We hear about people like Egyptian Lover out on the West Coast, right? But your name should be up there with these men. You were one of the architects of electro music and, to a sense, you know, electronic music, period. You know, your contribution is just unbelievable to this genre of music. And again, it's like I don't hear you mentioned in connection with some of these names. And does that bother you? And do you feel like, you know, you helped kind of create this new sound of,
well,
of electronic music?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was definitely there on the ground floor of it. You know, actually, if you want to hear something that's actually kind of funny and interesting, is, of course, Planet Afrika Bambaataa and the guys. They'd already done Planet Rock. And, of course, we had Kraftwerk, you know, coming from Europe. And those sounds were kind of swirling around, even though we did something a little bit different. And, honestly, Murder Rock, I almost did it as almost a goof or a dare. And I was listening to these records, and I said to myself, oh, I can do that. I can do something like that. And I came up with Murder Rock. And it ended up being the biggest single of my solo career.
We'll end this week's show with Reggie Griffin's 1982 Afrofuturist classic, Murder Rock. That's all the time we have for this week. Thank you for tuning in. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week. Same time, same place. And you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do, do. Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do, do. If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two.